So maybe before we get started, I wasn't at the last meeting, your first meeting, nor was Janet. So neither of us have had introductions. So I would like to ask you to just introduce yourself and just maybe give a brief reason or why you're interested in the OPC review committee. Nothing long, just to, so that I can put a name and a face together. Would you like to start?
Sure. I'm Bill LaRose, University of Love Quality, in fellowship of that. My background, I'm a lawyer mediator. What I told everybody is that many, many years ago, I was interested and studied the Brooklyn Report on Sustainable Development. It really piqued my interest in reading the OPC.
Greg Husband, professional planner, former politician, member of numerous committees in different municipalities to do with planning, and fell in love with this town the day I drove in to it, and bought a house the same day.
And regret it?
Love it. Regret it. So I think I've been here about 13 years.
Thank you.
I'm Susan Lloyd. Can't speak now. I'm Susan Lloyd. I'm a former lawyer. I spent some time in Qualica as a child. And in my practice, I did a lot of work with local governments and developers. I had a real love for that particular area. It also was a bit of a hobby. So now that I'm making my home as a retired person in Qualica, I want to lend a hand to try and forge a vision on what comes down.
Thank you. No, I don't think she
did. I know Lynn. And I'm a retired professional accountant, and I agree with what Susan said. I'd like to be involved in what's going on in the place I live.
Thank you.
Andrew Brown. I'm a planner by profession, architect by training, former associate dean of the School of Public Health. I'm also the chair of the Advisory Planning Commission here. And I came here in 1963-64, and then came back here in 2006, so I've lived here since then. So, my interest is in intelligent planning that is driven by excessive commercial effort that is scaled to the needs of the residents and to the natural environment.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm lucky to be here. I'm Janet, and I've lived in Qualicum for about 20 years with Wisconsin. And in the first... the restless stage of my retirement from a career working in government in the foreign aid program and a master's degree in community-based research and inter-indigenous collaboration. I got interested in Qualicum from the point of view of, is it a place where the young can grow up and be happy and stick around? So for about 5 years, I was very involved with youth groups here. And when this popped up, God knows how, in my email, I thought, well, it's about time I got back to see volunteering after quite a few years spent caregiving. And so I'm here hoping that we build a community vision that youth can buy into as well.
Okay. And I'm Sunella Vanderbalk. I'm one of your counselors. And I'll be chairing the group today because Luke is on a course for the next week. You know Liz, you met her at the last meeting.
Yes, indeed.
And Bernadette. And Bruce, are you an observer?
I'm an observer.
Okay.
So token public citizen.
Token public citizen. Okay. So I believe, I'm not sure with all these committees, I think the public is open to... Oh, not sorry.
Sorry, thank you. I wasn't going to interrupt, but thank you. So I'm Natanya Waddell. I've lived in this community for over 26 years, raised two children in the community, one of which is now an elementary school teacher in our district. And I myself ran the Qualicum Beach Museum for over 12 years. So I think, as I said in the initial meeting, I feel like I know quite a bit about the past of Qualicum. I know a bit about the recent past for having lived here, but I'm very interested in what the future holds and how we can keep this community a very desirable community. And I agree with the words of youth retention. I'll just finish with one thing my 28-year-old daughter said to me. At one point, we were kind of thinking, should we move to Victoria? And she said to us, don't you dare ever leave Qualicum. So I think it speaks to the fact that this community is appealing to youth as well, but we have to find a way for them to be able to live here.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I just wanted to clarify with a public person, a person of the public attending the meeting, that's fine, they can attend the meeting, but they just don't have any input into the meeting. So I will call the meeting to order, and first would like to give acknowledgement that the meeting is being held on the traditional and unceded lands of the Coast Salish people, in particular the Qualicum First Nation. And with that, I do need...
Move item number one.
Wait. Move item number one. Thank you. Okay. And seconded? All in favor? Thank you. And the adoption of the agenda, is there any anything that you would like to add? No, nothing at this time. So someone could move that the agenda be adopted. And seconded, Bill. And all in favor? Okay, thank you. Approval of the minutes from the October 3rd, 2023 meeting. Pardon me? Oh, just done it. Oh, no, we did that. We did number one. We've already done number one.
Okay. Yeah. I moved it.
Yeah. Greg moved it.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So number three, approval of the minutes.
Approved.
Okay. And seconded. Andrew, thank you. Okay. So from here, I think it's best just to let Liz take over and talk about the quality of life survey and the review of the questions. So Liz?
Yes, thank you. Nice to see everyone again. Just firstly want to go over the additional handouts that I left for everyone. They're part of the OCP is the Village Design Guidelines, as well as all the map schedules, so my apologies, those weren't included. But those two form part of the official community plan, so they'll be really useful to have. And then the second is the Quality of Life Survey. That's from the previous one in 2017. The first 76 pages or so are the results, and then from page 76 on is a copy of the survey that we sent out in 2017, and that is the document that we will be working off of today. But I wanted you guys to all have that for your mind. If there's any questions, let me know. So essentially, what we're going to do today, so if everyone, Janet, you have this thing. This should be part of it, the back of your binder in behind the quality of life survey.
Yes.
Essentially what we're going to do today is go through question by question in the 2017 survey and decide we're going to keep, eliminate, or maybe that's a question we want to come back to. So So we don't want to get too much into the weeds on wording or any of those details, just really preliminary, high-level overview of all the questions that we can use going forward.
Just a question of clarity. I was under the impression that there's a consultant doing this.
Correct.
And so this is going, our comments are going to go to the consultant.
Yeah, you as the committee will form the questions, and then once we have all the questions formed, then we'll send it to the consultant for them to put it into their platform, and they'll do the actual distribution of the survey, data results, and the self-assessment when it's valid. So we're just formulating the questions, and then the consultant will do the rest.
Okay, so he's not involved so far.
No, they're available if we have any questions or if we need help formulating anything else, but they are not involved in actually developing the questions.
Yeah. The survey was done in 2017, but it was also done in 2010.
Correct.
Yeah. And I noticed with some of the results that you can see where they've done comparisons of the answers from 2010 to 2017. Can we tell from this survey when we go through it which questions have been on both surveys? And which was just on the 2017?
Not on this survey. Luke and I have started an internal document for now that compares 2010 to 2017. So after today, once we go through, Luke and I will flush that out a bit more, and then we'll come back so we can do a comparison. The majority of the questions were on both. There was, I feel like there was one on cats that was in 2010 and one not in 2017. But for the most part, most of them were all there, maybe just slightly different wording.
Okay.
But yeah, that information will be made available for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So when we're looking at this survey, the one in 2017 was formed in two parts. So part one is quality of stay, and that starts right on page one. And this is all about services. So what we've decided is that the services, we're not going to go over any of the questions that have to do with trauma quality of each services. We're going to first take that through an internal circulation and meet with all of the different departments, the directors of different departments, and go through the servicing question before we bring that back to the committee. So today we're just going to focus on part two, which is actually quality of life in Polican Beach. And that starts on page nine. So if you don't want to skip there, once we're on the same page, we'll just start going through, and we'll talk about that. And Natanya, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can, except that you said that part two starts on page 90?
90.
Okay, then I'm following through the PowerPoint presentation, that document. I don't have the paper document on me.
Oh, you said the digital, yeah. So that should be on about page 76 for you.
Okay, super. Thank you.
Yes. Because it's formed in larger documents, so I just separated them all because the pages were not flipping through 100 pages. Yeah. Did you find it there?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Okay, so we're going to start on question 12, quality of life. How would you rate the quality of life in Polican Beach? Scoring excellent, range of good, only fair, or poor? Well, I'm accepted because this is the quality of life survey. We should probably keep that question, but I'll just hear from the community else. Maybe like, so do we want to keep this question eliminated, or do we want to come back to it with more questions?
Well, the lawyer in me says, why are we capitalizing quality of life if we don't have, do we have a definition? We normally would capitalize unless we have a definition.
Okay.
So that would cause a question for me, and I guess it is the overall question. Are we defining quality of life, or are we just letting people just define it however they choose? Right?
Well, certainly you have different definitions depending on where you are. In certain places right now, water and food is a difficult.
But they haven't defined anything. I was assuming in prior students, it's just for that aspect. Like
mm-hmm.
There is a benefit in wording things the same way for consistency. But that's the question I have. Has it been defined?
It sounds like something.
Yes, it sounds like something to be defined.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so. And then, yeah, I guess that definition could be sort of subjective or...
Well, I don't know if we need a definition. Yeah, I said it's sort of you know, raises that question when you see it like that.
And I don't know that we need a question. Because the whole of this evening, questions are about quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the definition of what people think will emerge from how we answer these questions.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me to just say excellent, very good, fair. They're purely estimative opinions, depending on people's circumstances. Mm-hmm. Someone could say excellent because they're a multi-millionaire living in Eagle Crest. And someone else could say poor because they're living on the streets for the day. Liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the value of that question? It's very general. It's vague.
Well, presumably when they do the data analysis, they will analyze it based on certain characteristics on the
empty
data, but I assume. So you'll get some close.
I think that's an important comment because we don't know how the consultants are going to analyze and summarize and interpret the results into what categories. Are they going to come back and say, we've looked at all these questionnaires and the quality of life is wonderful? Or are they going to be really fine-tuned in terms of their analysis? How will they evaluate how will they evaluate this question? I don't know.
So in terms of process here, procedure, I think I hear a motion to eliminate that one, and maybe we just vote.
I don't know how we're supposed to make decisions.
Yeah.
I'm a little, what were you and Luke thinking when you said you were going to look at each question and do you want a vote on each question?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess I was very vocal suggesting maybe the first question isn't necessary or maybe it's just so vague. So that's
okay. So you're making a motion that will be eliminated? Or
is it yes.
We don't need a seconder for motions, do we?
Okay.
Can we just make a list of things that we don't think come forward or do to come forward? I don't know.
So is this one an elimination or come back to more discussion?
You make a great point, and so I would support.
What harm does it do, though?
Yeah.
That's my thought. I think that's a very good question. I think how this committee frames and phrases the questionnaire is very important. I think that if it's very, very general, I think we're not doing ourselves any favors. This is me talking, just one person. I think we have some serious questions to ask population. I would hate to see this become a very general process. I think that we're at a critical juncture, as a planet, as a place, as a region. And I think that we have some really serious work to do as a community in terms of saying what we will accept and won't accept and what we're aiming for. And I myself, this is me, I'm very leery of the generality.
I agree with you. And I don't think we want a lot of questions that are just kind of general
motherhood
kind of stuff that most people are going to agree with. I'm not sure that's yes or fair. I do know, though, that when you're running a series of surveys over multiple years, there is benefit to having some consistency.
Yes.
So you can measure how those things change over time. But what I'm concerned about is I'm not so sure that we have all of the information or had the opportunity to review and to have enough discussion to be able to say this question should be in or this question should be out.
Yeah, I don't know what the overall...
It's a little bit premature to be getting to
this stage. Because I don't know what the... I agree. I feel brilliant way back. Because I don't know what the tone of the questionnaire should be. Like, are we going to say, is the tone, we've done this four times before, we're just sort of doing it again to see how people feel now, like the very general. Or is the tone I'm exaggerating here going to be... We've got some critical things to think of. This is a very important moment. These are big issues. We want their attention. How are we going to come at the community? I don't know.
They're not the combination.
Yeah. Just a thought is that what if we fine-tune that question based on further discussions, what are the sort of the, maybe come up with 5 or 6 areas that we really need to focus on in the future as a community, and maybe we ask the question later down in the survey, what is, you know, the most important area for you to have a good quality of life in Qualicum, and maybe they rate 1, 2, 3 areas that they really feel like we need to focus on for good quality of life. So maybe that would fine-tune in if it's no longer such a general question. Just a thought.
Well, I like the, I don't know who goes there. I like the way that's phrased, but I mean, if I was a member of the public and I hadn't participated, and the first question was, what do you think the major issues are facing quality? That would get my attention. To say, what do you think the major issues are? Then I can go through all the other stuff. But I would think, are they going to get to my major issue? Am I going to get to say it? I'm just, that would be what I want. I wanted to get my attention. Just a thought, it's good to talk about this because, you know, if you look at the sort of vision language of the OCT, the quality of life is kind of defined. It's defined in a loose day way of what that means. Maybe you could ask some questions around those concepts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the small town character and...
I mean, that's one question I think we should be asking at some point is, what is threatened? What is under threat? And your comment about the vagueness of language in the OCT, I'm a planner. And we write strategic planning documents, vision planning documents. And I've learned that after 40 years of experience to get specific. Vision, what do you mean by vision? What? Where? Because otherwise it just disappears into the planning ether. I agree. I think we can get a lot of mileage out of this if we are strategic enough, I think. I'd say it's in this one.
Is there any benefit in just going through this and getting a sense for what all of the questions are before we focus too much on individual questions? And all get a sense of what the whole survey is about?
There's a lot of good stuff in here. I think it's just for everyone to get an understanding of what has been covered in the past.
Yeah. I mean, there are obviously some areas where you have highlighted or where the town has highlighted specific issues, but those can change in a survey. And in some cases, they have to change because they're no longer relevant the way they were written. But I think it might be worthwhile to just go through what your whole survey is about.
Okay.
I think we should go through the whole thing and then see, well, how do we feel about this after we've gone through it?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of it will come together if you go through it. Yeah.
So for question number 12, quality of life, how would we rate that one? Achieve, eliminate, or come back to me? I just don't feel comfortable making that short for me.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to, Liz, if I might, go through the questions, and I don't know if we should just, like, everybody can go through the questions on their own. And then take a look at the individual questions. I don't think now is the time to look at the individual questions because people aren't familiar with what's in the whole questionnaire to start with.
So we should do an overview first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And see if the questions are aimed at the right thing. Because I was a fan of the one you said on this question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that I was giving very specific direction from Luke on the sort of the process last time that they went through, and this was supposed to be just very high level, like not getting into the nitty-gritty of how is it worded, how was the intention, how it's going to be analyzed, like, yep, that's still sort of important, that's not important, just really high level, like keep, eliminate, but come back to.
Yeah, I think the process was different last time though, because I think the quality of life survey occurred later in the committee's work. So that may have made a difference. This is really the first meeting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't really had a lot of time for discussion or review. So I don't know if seeing that way makes the most sense right now, but.
And
Other thoughts? Please.
I'm agreeing with you and with Luke that high level is good, but we're just saying higher level is better at this stage.
Okay.
I just mark it as questionable.
Sorry?
I just mark it as questionable.
Okay. And I apologize. I'm still quite new, so thank you for being patient with me. So if the committee wants to take another direction, we can absolutely take another direction.
I don't think we're going to know until the end of this discussion.
And how many days have we, meetings have we got?
Tentatively, 1, 2, 3.
We've got 3 meetings.
4.
Okay.
4. Yeah. November 6th, and that's one of the other points on the agenda, is on the 6th of November, then the committee endorses the draft survey. So that's meeting number 4.
So to get to the draft survey, we have to have consensus or an agreement on the survey, but we have to back it up. So, and then it goes to the consultants, consolidate it.
Yeah.
So it looks like we maybe have 2 meetings for discussion.
We have one on the 16th today, the 23rd, the 30th, and the 6th, what we're hoping for.
That council wants to deal with this on the 7th, is that correct?
November 7th, it is to be sent to the forum research.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
I know I'm jumping in a little bit on the schedule, but we sort of worked backwards from when it was intended to go to council. That being said, this is tentative and this is draft, and if we need more meetings, Luke has advised that it could potentially get pushed even later. It's obviously an endorsed or not a consensus. So this is very much draft, hopeful timeline.
So maybe what we should do is, rather than having in-depth discussions at this point about each of these questions, because we're not all familiar with the questions, still go through your process that you and Luke were talking about, but just do it on a quick basis so people hear what the question is. Yes, I think that's valid. No, we need to discuss it further so that we can get through all of the questions and then go back and look at them more in depth.
Exactly. And then this,
is everybody okay with that? Yep.
The intent was to have an idea of what the committee feels, and then that will help Luke and I put us together our spreadsheet for the 2010-2017 comparison. That'll help us move forward to sort of getting into some more of the details. I think it was Luke's intent behind this process.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we can just quickly go through all of the questions so people are familiar with them and then go from there.
Yeah.
But do you want to go ahead and...
Okay. So what did we set on? Well, we're going to come back to that question.
I think maybe we'll be coming back to all of the questions, but there might be some that are definite out or in. So let's just maybe go through the questions and then.
Sure. So number 13, town sustainability. The following are current sustainability goals for the town of Qualicum Beach. How important are each of these goals to you? To improve air quality, reducing dependence on fossil fuel transportation, improving energy efficiency of buildings, reducing waste, ensuring the quality and quantity of water, protecting and restoring the natural environment, increasing local food production, strengthening the local economy, improving physical and mental health, and providing and encouraging affordable housing.
So my immediate thought would be, do we keep all that are here, yes or no, and is there anything that isn't here that you would add? You don't need to do a deep dive into that, but that would be part of my intent.
Janet, you want to?
Well, as for what I'd like to see added based on the world we live in now, 4 years later, is to think about the forest that surrounds us and how that's protected, you know, wildfires and mitigated.
Mm-hmm.
number 13 to come back to.
So I'm just going to say provide, encourage affordable housing. Certainly housing is the big issue everywhere. And in terms of municipality providing affordable housing, if you ask the person and they say a high priority to this, but in my view, it requires provincial and federal funding to get there. So this says that, to me, that says that that's the municipality's responsibility. The word providing, but I'd like to strike providing. So
I think it's really important that this, I don't know how this works, that this questionnaire doesn't reply anything to the community member that the town can't do. And the town can't solve the housing crisis. It can't. We don't have that.
And that's clear, and you've got to agree doing it. You don't have the OCP.
You don't have that range of planning, dynamic background to know that, well, half the municipalities can't fix the housing problem. They can do band-aids, maybe, but they can't fix the housing problem. It's a political issue. So sometimes when I read through these menus for each of these questions, I think this is like everything. It's like everything's on here, and I'm wondering if we're going to get into trouble. But it tends to get neutralized when you're asking everyone about everything.
Mm-hmm. All these are action statements.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then, generally speaking, you're in favor of all of them except the last one?
I'm in favor of
coming back to them.
Supporting, encouraging, something like that. What you can't provide, as you've already pointed out, which you aren't in a position to provide. Affordable.
Well, it is affordable.
In the eyes of the beholder.
Relative to your income.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in general, do you think towns ask the impression on sustainability of the town's goals is an appropriate question to ask in terms of the community?
Do you want to know what said goals are?
Well, it says the following are the goals.
Yeah, the bottom.
So I'm in favor of this. With certain additions, we can respond to that. Yeah, and that's one thing too, that just because if we're keeping it fresh, it doesn't mean that that is the way it'll be important.
Well, I'm coming back to Janet's point. At the last meeting, I brought up the woodland urban interface. And if we don't keep that in mind, we might not have anything if we were to have serious wildfires, etc. So, and it is becoming important.
Yeah.
Really,
well,
much more pleasant than mine. I
can say
that's quite
nice. Yeah. So then, April would like to see and we should have something to do.
Woodland urban interface.
Yeah.
And see, I mentioned a little bit last week. He agreed that it was something we need to think about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another thing that's very different between this time and last time is the number of people unhoused living on the street and squatting in the woods and so on. But there's nothing that I've read going through it about support to community meals or food banks or crazy making. That is something that's happening that's different. Under the theme of inequity, growing inequality, housing.
Mm-hmm. And support for those.
Yeah. Or some attitude towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once again, there are things that the municipality can and can't do.
Yeah.
And another thing is, it troubles me, that issue. I've only seen three people that I know who don't have a place to live.
and they're all getting fed. And one of them has a computer and a cell phone every day, and he's doing quite well. So I don't know how serious it is here. It's definitely not as bad as part of film. I don't know that that's anything to be proud of, but,
yeah.
But we aren't seeing encampments on the street, as far as I know.
And the gentleman you refer to could have home, he doesn't want
it. He doesn't, yeah, they don't. They choose, there are all the people who've chosen to live that way. So I'm just trying to be pragmatic about that issue, but I mean, I can see it's terrible in other places, but I don't feel like it's terrible here yet.
But what's different is that now it's a thing.
It's,
in 2017, yeah. We hadn't even...
We didn't see it. Yeah.
And does it come up anywhere else in the questions?
No.
I had a thing about, I've been looking at stuff recently on demographics, and so we have, you know, I'm a pre-baby boomer, there's the baby boomers, and then there's the generation, I don't know,
X
and Y, Z.
Millennials.
And millennials. And they all have characteristics, as I've been discovering, and one of the characteristics going forward is less money, which is about housing now. So then that, say, okay, well, that's important in the survey, but it comes back to, that's a council issue to deal with housing going forward. And I think you'll find that if we have something in here about housing, then we do sustainable, affordable housing. Then that requires action. And I think the provincial government certainly knows about it, and I don't know what the federal government is doing.
Well, the biggest bomb that's going to hit this is the provincial government's new legislation about single-family lots. Because it affects density, it affects theoretically affordability, it affects the shape of the town, the density of the town, it affects everything. Nobody really knows what the implication of that legislation is going to be. But if they're going to say on any residential lot, you can build four houses.
Did they say that?
Yeah, that's what the plan is. They haven't elaborated on how it would happen, and what does that mean about the town services, the capacity of them. Nobody knows. But in my mind, the whole community plan is up in the air. The official community plan is up in the air because of that. Provincial legislation.
Wasn't there a population stipulation of 10K?
That was for the short-term rental?
Yes, for that PM.
Yeah, right.
And although my question, just diverting slightly, is where are we population-wise at this point? Official number.
9,303.
So do we know anything about the composition, the population here, the demographics?
Yeah,
I was at the fire hall on Saturday, and I was amazed at the number of children there.
Yeah. The demographic has changed dramatically in the last 4 years.
Yes.
There are young families and young children everywhere. So that's one of my big questions about this. Who are we looking at for answers? Who is the OCD for? I'm 76, not for me.
No,
not for us, it's for young people. It's for young families, I think. And for First Nations, we should forget that.
So we're talking about the sustainability of the town.
You mean the physical town or the social town?
Social town.
I know.
How do you do economics too?
It's economics.
And so it's always, well, nice to have a pretty place. And it's the main street. It's very attractive for business. It wasn't that long ago where you could see storefront after storefront, and yet then a new one coming in, and it keeps changing what's going on. And so some businesses are not sustainable. Some are. But that's not our concern.
I think what we're trying to do is generally find out what the community feels about
the things that we're talking about. So how can we best communicate that with to them and communicate with them about it? So do we want to ask, like, question 13, do you want to add anything? Do you want to take anything out? And we can worry about, not worry about, but look at the specifics of the wording and what our intention is at future meetings, if my understanding.
Going back to what we were talking about earlier, and I guess this is going to be a very nebulous, circular conversation, hopefully with synergy. But I'm going to go back, right back to number 12, quality of life. I get rid of it and say, who do you think this plan is for? Like, who do you think we're doing this for? Like, who should we be doing this for? I mean, really start engaging the community. Think of all the grade 11 and 12 students, every one of them, and say, who is this plan for? Why is doing this important? That's community planning.
To pick up what you
said, Andrew, is somewhere in here is a number which is very, very few people of that demographic did a quality of life. And going back to my time, it's two plans ago with the youth, is the disaffection with all these potted plants and places to sit and stuff when they're missing a youth worker or they're missing any sense that they belong. And it's may well have changed, of course, but I know that their thoughts will be important. Right. If what it's for is the future.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we have to keep the community in mind, and we're definitely composed of a lot of different kinds of people, different age groups. So how can we best get the questions across to all of the people in that? In the community. But we want to keep it open, and we want to keep it sort of, to my mind, as broad as we can, so that a lot of different people in a lot of different circumstances can say, this is what I think. So, you know, if you ask people the question, well, what are we doing this for? I mean, it's everybody in the community, so I don't know that I think we have to kind of keep it broad in general to a certain extent.
I agree with what you're saying, but it troubles me. I mean, I go down to Judges Row all the time, and there's like 4 out of 7 houses no one in them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were happy since I was a boy, 60 years ago. It was a place for rich people to go for 2 weeks this month. And, yeah, they're going to say, this is the way I like it. But I'm talking about the 9,300 people. How many of them are 35 years old or 25 years old or 17? And what are we showing them? You know, they're not the golfers. They're something else. And I think it'd be terrible if we overlook them.
No, I'm not saying we should overlook anybody. What I'm saying is if we tailor it more for this group as opposed to this group, I don't think that that's to the advantage or what we want to do.
Exactly.
We want to keep it open,
yes,
to as many people as we can to get their point of view about the condition of the town and what they think might happen, how satisfied they are with what's going on in the town.
Maybe
I think we have
more to do with how we distribute the question.
How we do it.
Yeah. How we distribute it how we frame the questions is also a part of it.
Yeah.
But I feel we're getting into a lot of detail a little too early.
Yeah.
So if we can try and keep it broad.
I just totally agree, and I think we can't make this survey about focusing on one group. I think the quality of Qualicum, or what we would like to keep, is diversity. And I'm talking as much in age than of different walks of life. I think that if we're going to gear towards only one age group, we're going to miss the big picture, or, you know, what we really want to get out of this survey. But I think we had mentioned that at the first meeting, that a way to get the youth would be through a teacher in the high school, like, you know, get them to do it as part of their social class work or whatnot. And then it can be also a learning experience for them about municipal processes and how, you know, in being involved with the future of their community. But I really think we're getting really, really detailed here, and we have to come up with questions. We have to have a survey. So I think we're getting maybe bogged down in some really details.
Well, let me just, April, you had a...
No, I was pointing at Sandy, but some of the things we're talking about are covered in the next question.
Right. And Liz, what?
I was just going to say, to the point of engaging and how we're going to get out to various demographics in the community when I come up with a consultation plan or engagement plan, we can incorporate potentially, as in addition to having survey sent to the household with the school, or each household has two, access to two surveys, essentially, in addition to that, to ensure we're getting like, some of the kids in the household, that could be part of engagement, going out to the schools or whatever, we could absolutely include that as part of the engagement side of the quality of life survey.
And I think also in the identifying new topics and emerging trends, which is a little skipping ahead, but there are other committees, town committees, that have asked for input into the survey. So that might be something to consider as well. So again, that's including other people and other concerns. Okay? So, okay, so where are we now? So 13, we essentially said, yes, those are good questions, but we need to work on them, and there's the addition about the wildfire line as well. Okay.
I think this big list, many of the items are great. Why are they in this order? Why is land use number one? Because that's what most people think of the community plan is, a land use manual. And I think it should be a demographic diversity and community ultimately before the land use manual. I think, you know, the way we present these questions says something. In this list, the thing is in human scale doesn't appear anywhere. So it says, compact community land use. This is Sandy was human scale. And we're building a 7-story building, which is going to excite a lot of people in a very disturbing way. And, I mean, we need to tackle the issue of human scale. We tackled it with the building next door, which is, you know, has worked very well. But I think we're pushing our luck. And people are going to look down at the park bill and say, we don't want that. So this issue of human scale is like, it's very different from land use. And then the other word that doesn't appear in here for me is safety. And that is becoming more and more of an issue of safety. And community health and safety, you know, is a huge issue. Is it a safe place? A lot of people in Nanaimo don't think Nanaimo is a safe place. Do we want to be like that?
Okay, so taking some of the list out of it, do we want to ask a question on the survey surrounding priorities for decision-making? So some decisions require trade-offs between the town's long-term sustainability principles, where success in one area means compromising on another principle. How important of each of these priorities are to you? Do we like that question? Aside from what the priorities are, we want to ask the community a question about the decision-making priorities for the town.
I think it's all here. Mm-hmm. I think as we go through this discussion, we're going to realize the beauty of this exercise is going to be on how it comes together and who puts the focus on the answers. Is it going to be possible for someone like Petrel to stand up at the end of this and say, if someone asks you in a council meeting, what was the outcome of the community questionnaire of the quality? Are you going to be able to say these six things stood out? So all the rest is really good, but these six things stood out. I'm afraid I'm not going to get into those six things. I don't know what they are.
Right. Well, generally speaking, 14 is good.
Well, I think just going through it, to say economic prosperity, town initiatives include maintaining low taxes. There is a general rule about what the tax rate should be, and it was tested in California, Proposition 13, a lot of years ago. So they came out with a formula, fit and foremost. I can't even remember what it is right now. Supporting the Chamber of Commerce. Seems to me it's the Chamber of Commerce that supports the town. And encouraging development of the village neighborhood. So somebody has to have an idea what the village neighborhood is.
Well,
it's on the map. But if you ask that question, what does it mean?
And that's sort of my concern when I look at a number of these things. We've got, in my view, we've got to stay away from using buzzwords and planning terms or whatever that a lot of people may not understand. And so I really, some of this, it comes across that way, especially if you want to be reaching a broad group of people, young and old, who have different levels of familiarity with all of those things. So, I think some of the language could be improved to be more, I don't want to use this word, but accessible, more, understandable to a broader range of people.
There's nothing in this list about history and culture. Nothing. Nothing about First Nations. Nothing about what was torn down along the waterfront over the years when I was a boy. There's nothing about what should be preserved. And I think that is a huge issue for the future. Like, are we going to stay the way most people have loved it being? You know, like we had a lot of these issues came up with St. Andrew's Lodge. Which I used to ride my bike to when I was 14. And, we were in danger of losing a major piece of our culture. You know, Elizabeth built out with her dad in 1937. So, and, we've got to watch out for these things that we're in danger of losing.
Okay, look, we're not focused now.
No.
And I'm just focused on economic prosperity. So these are examples to illustrate economic prosperity. Town initiatives include maintaining low taxes. Now, I don't know if the taxes are low. I think they're in line with other residential communities that doesn't have any industrial base, doesn't have an industrial base, which would lower the residential taxes.
I don't think any reference to taxes should be in there.
No.
I think it's a different dynamic.
Yeah.
If your house goes up to $1.5 million, you're going to be paying higher tax for
it. Yeah, but it's a percentage.
Yeah. It's a percentage.
They form what the need is. And
I think a lot of examples of town initiatives need to be updated.
I do too.
Yeah, I was wondering if we could, in the list, rather than looking at the description necessarily, is there anything like complete compact community land use that you disagree with or you don't think that should be included? So that the wording of each of these descriptions is something that can be worked on at a future point. But the main points, low impact transportation, community health, sustainable food systems, I know they are all very general, but can we agree that we want those included, and is there something further that you would like to see included on that list?
And I think part of anything you want to see included further would be part of the emerging directions and part of the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, for me, history and culture.
First Nations.
Yeah, the First Nations.
I would agree with that, yes.
Okay. So do we want to leave that till we talk about identifying
Do we want to separate out quality of life survey and identify new topics, or we'll just do it
as we're going, as we have been? I think it makes more sense to just do it as we have been.
Well, are we, along, are we agreeing that some of the wording here needs to be changed at some point? Because it is, it's very formulaic.
It's not detailed, not the way the questions are asked, it's not the details of what's in there. It's very high level. Do we still want to focus on this question of quality of life? Do we still want to understand
what people think about low impact transportation? Is that important to them? And then
well, we'd like to know what their priorities are for decision.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to break this down about the building neighborhood. If you don't know what that is, many of these questions become meaningless.
Well, that's why I think we're going to have to go through comb through the wording.
Mm-hmm.
When you get down to compact community land use number one, focusing growth into the village neighborhood, that's not what the provincial government says. I don't know where you've got to change the word.
And I think the whole plain language thing goes a long way. This is just an idea, now I'm getting off track. Maybe if there was a definition page at the beginning, like, Phillips neighborhood is this, and quality of life we're defining is this, that could be an option too, is to have this definition page that will help people guide through
that.
So the village neighborhood is walking distance to the town core, and it's in so many meters. I think it's 400 meters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not what I think the village neighborhood is. I think it's the defined number of streets from here to there to here, and whatnot. That's the village neighborhood. So consequently, it's already at the table. We've come up with two definitions without knowing.
I'm going from him because the village neighborhood, I think, is a circle in the map.
It's a really solid written line around.
Yes, and then some other places in the CPA, OEP, it refers to, as you're at a certain intersection, and this is the gateway to the village neighborhood. So again, you have to know what that is for it to make any sense.
Yeah, we can't make assumptions that everybody knows what these things are.
If you want to elicit a meaningful response.
I think a definition section is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You do that in law all the time. Documents. And the other point, I think it was Andrew mentioned, under low impact transportation safety, I think that's important. I happen to know somebody who runs the road checks for the RCMP, with the speeding and counting infractions, and there are a couple of spots in Qualicum that aren't safe right now. But I'm talking about high pedestrian, areas.
Okay. Are we ready to move on to number 15? Or is there anything else anybody wants to
talk about? Question of clarity. Who's going to take the responsibility to take it to the administration to clarify these
language? Is that our job?
Once we go give the draft questions to the survey or to the consultant, it'll be their job. We're coming up with all the wording. So I think together as a committee,
we have to do the wording.
We would work on the wording.
So, of course,
with administrative help, like I could ask them to help type it up and do all that.
So then on the first one, it says complete compact community land use. Well, that means nothing to me. And the illustration is town initiatives include focusing growth into the village neighborhood. And then we need a definition. Well, it's clear in the map. And preventing sprawl. I think that is important. How it gets. So I would say a definition would be something like walking distance or in meters to the town center, as illustrated in, but there's no map.
add images to as an option if we want to add images or little words to questions. We can absolutely change the format of
survey. But it's a concept, so it makes sense to have your main population focus or concentrated close to your economic center. Can't come up with a person that said that.
I think last time they did the survey in paper, but they also did an additional component on cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
The telephone survey.
Yes.
So the questions need to be ones that you can communicate verbally.
Okay.
As a text for the paper.
So I guess the question is, if we're on 14 still, and we're looking more at what questions are included, without looking at the specific wording. So can we just say, yes, we're going to include something about complete compact community land use without getting into the details? Are we okay with that for today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think most of these, I think, are useful.
Compact land use says a lot.
Yeah, you're only giving direction, right, with that statement.
Yeah, with those words.
Strike complete. Take all community,
but see, I think if we start
we're doing the general, just a broad concept.
Yeah.
But we agree we have to work on this one.
Question. Someone has to do it. It would be maybe one or two people in the committee go through and suggest changes to the wording the next meeting. Maybe that's. And people say, yeah, I agree with that, or we don't agree with that. That might save us a lot of time, ultimately.
Yeah, I was thinking about what the process should be, so I could go back to Luke and be like, here's what's going on in the meeting, here's the outcome, here's kind of what makes the most sense for next steps, and so I would welcome...
We need to know how is the fine wording going to get modified by this committee? What process? Mm-hmm. We shouldn't leave here today without having figured that out, I don't think.
Right. No, I would agree.
Can I make a comment about economic opportunities? It's really popped out of me. Because I don't know how I would make this list, but the one I find really, really interesting is the education industry, including possibly the satellite campus of Vancouver Island University. I don't know what the school district is doing. And we already have a satellite campus of Vancouver Island University. It's called Milner Garden. And why are we saying something like this? Like, how invisible is this? You know, and I was the planner for Vancouver, so I have strong feelings about this. I mean, we need to cultivate that relationship with the university. And the other thing that's missing off this list is the UNESCO Mount Arrowsmith Biosphere Reserve, which is one of 13 in Canada, and we're in it. And what is our relationship going to be? I mean, Vancouver University has taken over the biosphere as a research project, but as a public education project, it doesn't even show on our waterfront that we're in the Mount Arrowsmith Biosphere Reserve. There's no demonstration project on the waterfront. There's nothing to explain to the public. You could come here for 3 months holiday and never know you're in a United Nations Biosphere Preserve. And it's really unfortunate that we're missing a big opportunity. And it's a huge museum and heritage opportunity that's unexplored. Anyway, there you go.
So what page are you referring to?
I'm an economic opportunity.
Still on number 14.
No, he's on 15.
I'm on number 15.
Oh, you're on number 15.
Yeah. I moved on.
So we were talking about changing the process slightly, amending it a bit.
So just so I'm clear, on number 14, we're okay with all of the points, but we're looking at rewording, or you are looking at rewording the specifics. And adding a couple.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're looking at a way of doing that without driving ourselves all crazy.
So committee as a whole, I think, was a suggestion.
You could break the first three words and everyone, town initiatives included. if you're really interested in getting a person to have an idea of what the title is about. It's an illustration.
So we're all on 15 now, are we? What?
Apparently
I'm not. And I mean, I think there's a benefit to having this question. I think we can define it. Mm-hmm.
Does anyone know why the Bank of Montreal is closing on December 13th?
I don't know why it is closing.
Oh, there's only not enough people in Qualcomm who have mortgages.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all the houses are paid off, so the bank has no reason to be here. They don't, it's not.
Is that why we have it? Or are we miserable?
Well, I've got another branch just down the road.
Not me, that's out of my town.
That's right, yeah.
Who needs to go to a bank would be my question.
Yeah. It's
alright.
So what are new economic opportunities or areas that have come up in the last 4 or 5 years? Or 6 years?
Well, one that's trying hard to come up is the movie theater. I don't know how big an economic opportunity that is. But when it's a film industry, actually we've got people apparently who want to watch movies. And they want the whole hoosh, or they make a natural site on the corner for the movie theater. You know, so an echo player isn't going to give them back a movie theater. So the movie theater didn't tell me to go away. I guess it's a culture and arts and culture, are big economic drivers.
Yeah.
Know?
So do we want to ask the community there, like, which activities the town should encourage in terms of economic opportunities? Yeah, I think the question is valuable.
Okay. Keep the question social supporting and media and some additional things like arts and culture or
arts and culture say instead of just to have a do that more to it.
Number 16, service-based light industrial area. There's a small service-based area adjacent to the uptown core, located east of Memorial Avenue, which currently contains warehouses, builder supplies, commercial spaces, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
No, this isn't true anymore.
I know, this is a big change.
It could be the fruit pile of a butcher and a seven-story condominium building. It's all gone.
This is the East Village.
It's the East Village, yeah.
The other side of the road.
The East Village. I drew a little sketch of it for the mayor, like Tin Town recording, like a real rough and tumble, hands-on, small studio space. That's now what it's become. It's becoming the East Village with seven-story buildings and food puzzles.
So this is looking at an area east of Memorial. So between what streets would this be?
It's from Memorial to
Furman Cedar.
To Burnham.
Memorial to Berwick, and then
up to what?
I guess it would be from First, which is where you turn into Naked Natural, one of the entrances. From First to Fifth.
And then Fourth is
Fourth.
Fourth.
So I think you have to get up to Fifth to be out of it.
Even on the corner of Berwick and Fourth, there's a large scale
Next door to the model depot. There's going to be a map, CO16, so people could refer to map.
Yeah, there were some maps. It looked like more than one map in the center pages there. So it worked.
Oh,
So basically, this question has to be changed completely, I would say, because we know that that area has taken already a new sort of direction.
That's right.
Yep. So just on this, just on the north side of Fern, not on the south side of Fern.
But if you read down, it says, third point is all industrial uses should be relocated further from the uptown core. Like, I mean, you know, a lot of that has sort of disappeared. There's a little remaining. So maybe the question should be, you know, based on what's being developed in that area, do we want to move away completely from industrial or, you know, like it's already such a mixed area at this point. You know, with restaurants and now, as you say, condominiums going up there, it's changing direction.
And there is creep. I think it is so performing well as the economy and the apartment building, right?
Well, there's an apartment building and there's an approved plan for 24 townhouses on the MC site, which hasn't been followed through. That was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is going to be a residential area,
yeah.
Any in the roof of.
Across Dominican Natural?
Yeah.
Maybe specify the area that's not in East Village.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from the lane behind
Windsor.
Windsor.
Yeah.
To Fifth.
To Fifth. Yeah.
So it's more
interesting because we get housing there, which makes sense. But we'll lose the services that we come to depend upon it too. You know, and it's really handy to go to Windsor or Chuck's Automotive and the farm.
How long will Windsor resist development pressures?
Oh, they won't.
They won't. So it's inevitable. Someone will say, we'll give you $5-10 million for that site and build more economy. You want to cross the alley. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
And like you said, we have Dolly's Home Hardware. I know it's not quite the same, but we do have a hardware store right in town that is a big surface. I mean, considering our size of town, so.
Well, you know.
I think we should let the community tell us what they think.
Right. Yeah.
So I think if we still have questions, but
there's,
make it more clear in terms of which area we're asking the questions.
As chair of the Planning Commission, under the previous question, priorities for decision making, it doesn't say human scale. It doesn't say anything about no big box stores. This has been a priority for decision making for as long as I've lived here. No big box stores. And I'm watching creep happen. Dolly did a wonderful job. That's a big store. They did a wonderful job given the site constraints. The drugstore is not a little store.
No.
Pharmacy is not. It's getting to be a big box store. Come on. And when you talk to Chris about his vision for Naked Naturals, or for Naked Naturals on the corner, you think women are going to call computers there, and Naked Naturals, we're going to build Naked Naturals. These are big box stores. This is what everyone said they didn't want. So how are we going to handle that one? That's why under priorities for decision-making, it doesn't say scale. Keep it human scale. It just says compact community land use. It doesn't say anything about no big box buildings, no 10-story high-rises. Those are priorities for our decision-making, I think.
And I don't think we can ignore Parksville. I mean, we're not a town in the region, and Parksville,
because it's
continuous.
Yeah.
So, you know, in a way, just to read it, the housing that's happening in Parksville will accommodate workers that need to work here. So you can't ignore, like, we could be the same city.
Well, when you look at the traffic on the road, why is that road always packed with traffic between here and Parksville? It's because people from here are going shopping in Parksville. They're driving to Canadian Tire. They're driving into food stores in Parksville. It's been going on for years. They're getting their cars fixed in Parksville.
So is that our role, that we're just like a bedroom community? Is something that's getting big very fast? That's a big issue for ROTC.
Yeah, well, there seems to be some contradictory comments here, because if we say we don't want big box stores, but we don't want people shopping in Parksville, let's come to an agreement. And I think we have to offer our opportunity. We talk about economic development, but also options for people that want to remain shopping in this community. And it's funny, because big box stores in my mind is always chains, like no McDonald's, no Tim Hortons, that sort of thing. But having Naked Naturals move into a bigger space, I don't see that as a big box store. On the contrary, I see that as an opportunity for our citizens to have a place to shop that is not Jimmy Pattison's store, which, you know, some of us are grieving that we no longer will have a quality foods here. So I'm all for giving us opportunities to shop locally. I'm a big proponent of that. But then give us places where we can go. If we cut them all out, then of course we're going to go to Parksville.
So I think it's very interesting conversations that we're having, but I think we need to
keep going.
And what is it that we're trying to ask of the community? So we all have our own opinions about what should or shouldn't happen, but we need to find out what the people in the community, residents in the community, think about things. So in terms of the light industrial area, I think that, is it still a valid question? Do we think it's a valid question if we have the question, but change the location, located east of Memorial Avenue between Elaine and behind Windsor and Fifth. Is everybody okay with that? Do we want to have it included still? Because I think it's...
Yeah, I think that's important to know, because presently it says kept exclusively for light industrial. Well, that isn't happening.
Right.
But it's still pretty much light industrial in the area that you're starting to describe. So which direction are we going in? Are we going to address what's still light industrial? Or are we still talking about the big areas, which is obviously in flux at the moment?
So what land use would go there instead? Well, the obvious one is housing. But maybe it's more important to the community to have light industrial there than housing.
So then maybe...
So do we have a housing issue? I don't know.
Well, we should ask people that.
Yeah.
I think the question is good.
Yeah, the concept of the importance of having some light industrial property within the town is something that we should be addressing.
I mean, I don't think people want a tire warehouse up near the zone. That's not who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think they want some services in that area. It's just a way to fine-tune it for what.
Yeah. Right.
And just specify the area.
Yeah.
Questions.
Or are we all okay with that? We'll specify the area, but leave that question, whether we reword it or not, that leave the question. Okay. So number 17.
Big one.
Yes.
I mean, this isn't relevant any longer. It's given what's going to happen. In other words, a provincial mandate to densify. How do you see it happening?
It's happening in Parksville. You know, really. 10 minutes away, or 15.
But we're going to have to do it.
Well,
I think it'll be an interesting question for people in Qualicum, because it's already happening. You know, in the last 5 or 6 years, we've had just numerous examples of densification along the road out here. We're doing it now down on Berwick. We've got 3 townhouses going up there. We've got that happening all over. We're densifying.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we could ask people some really good questions about densification.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with density.
Would you build money?
Do you want to ask a question? Do you want to keep a question on residential growth?
Yes.
Yeah. Would you support densification in your neighborhood? That's an interesting question.
Well, the next question, we get into more detail about that. And there's another map.
Number 18 talks about residential growth areas. The maps aren't in this one that we got sent out to one
prevention. So isn't this obsolete because we don't know where this new densification legislation applies? This is very specific.
But it's also what people choose, not necessarily what, you know, the legislation says, but it's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Nowhere in there does it say residential growth in the town's park, which is a huge amount of undeveloped land.
In the town's what?
Park.
Parkland.
Yeah, which never fully used. They used to do a walking dog.
Well, then you have to be, I think it makes reference to a medical facility, right?
Yeah, that's, non-housing.
No.
Well, I just asked myself, where could we build more housing? And someone made a comment 6 years ago that in the future, we could expect all the estate properties along the highway for rezoning. I won't say for what.
Well, I'd say we have two homes on our street that are sitting empty.
So you see this discussion occurring in Vancouver already, with discussions about using golf courses.
Yeah.
No one said Stanley Park yet, but we think that you can see where that's going. I use Crown Land or other parks, you know, chunks in various places.
Well, not the implication here in ALR.
You've got ALR, yeah.
So who's coming here? Well, for one thing, retired people. And I think I mentioned at the last meeting that the senior centers that half of their, almost half their membership is new. Mm-hmm. In 2023 for 2022. So seniors are falling off.
There's a surprising number of affluent younger and middle aged people moving here.
Yeah.
Because they realize, I don't want to drive 2 hours to Chilliwack or Langley. I can sell my house and do really well here and work from home and whatever. This is surprising numbers.
We have that new child care center just past the baseball. And that's a wonderful example of how the demographics are moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not part of the survey, but it's important information.
Yeah.
To know who we are.
Yeah.
So what we're really looking to know is what type of housing somebody like Nathaniel's son would like if, assuming he had the money to buy whatever that was, but we haven't talked about what that would look like. I'm sure it's not one of the mansions on Judge's Row.
Wouldn't consider it because he couldn't afford it, but
yeah,
that's a good point. We have some of the world's best examples of pocket housing in Seattle, mm-hmm. where they've taken single family lots and they built seven houses and they're lovely. Right. And you just don't want to live there. Now, they're not 2,500 square feet, but they're real dwelling places for humans.
Mm-hmm.
We have wonderful examples. Mm-hmm. We could start an initiative of pocket houses, pocket neighborhoods in Qualicum. And
then we get goldfish up in Courtney and they do the
same thing. Yeah. And we've got a developer who is dying to do that.
I'd get my hand and shoot up right away.
Yeah. So, I
think that in terms of housing, we have to think outside the box. And I don't think it's just youth. I think some of older folks, when they're ready to move out of their single dwelling home, they want options. What are options out there? So I do agree. Like, I think we need to look at different what's available and, you know, an architect can enlighten us on that. But
not more gardens and more Berwick.
So can I just say number 18 is residential growth areas?
Right.
And number 19 is housing outside the village neighborhood and talks about the kinds of housing. Can we deal with number 18 first and then we can have the discussion on number 19, what else we would like to include or... So is it a worthwhile question, residential growth areas? Where do we see the growth happening? I think that's that question we should include.
Yeah.
And then if we go to 19, housing outside the village neighborhood, I don't think it should necessarily
supposed to be limited to outside the village neighborhood, but what kind of housing should be considered?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. It's really relevant now.
So then we're looking at different housing types.
And they're all here. It's
So are we okay with 19 as is?
Yes.
I think the subsidized housing, you have to say what that is. A lot of people don't know what that is.
Yeah.
So what does subsidized mean?
That might not even be a question for this.
Maybe something in the list.
No, that's, I come from a time when the federal government dumped a huge amount of money into public housing and in Calgary. And it's not going to happen. And that's all subsidized. It's not going to happen unless the federal government gets.
Unless there's a national housing program that provides community housing, it won't happen. The municipality can't do it.
But I think you're right. I don't think it should be in this letter.
No.
Because you're looking at types of facilities or types of
the community don't look at the town and think it's your fault. You created this problem. Mm-hmm. The town didn't create the housing problem. Peter, of course, created a housing problem.
So we're going to keep 19, but again, maybe go through the list and kind of define some of the options.
Senior care facility, I heard negative on the Berwick. It's not a good place, not a good place to go. Not a good facility to have. Another one?
I'm not sure the examples of Eaglewood and Oceanside subdivisions are the best examples of small lot single family.
No, they're not.
Because they're strata.
Because we've got them all over now. The Larson boys.
I think that could be refined.
Once again, it's the wording.
Overall. Because, like you said, things have changed. I don't know the history, so this is a great learning opportunity for me. But the question is good.
I can never explain it.
It is a small lot single family detached.
How much should the district of the town for the rent?
So number 20 is fine as is, all important.
Oh, here we come to the building height. Oh, God. The town village design guideline.
Is that on number 20?
Yeah. Number 20, I think we're good. We said it's fine. So we're on 21.
Okay.
The town's village design guidelines. They're misnamed, actually. It's a town, so why say village design guidelines? Recommend a max of 3 store out of 2 parents. Although the town does consider application on a case-by-case basis, that's what's been happening.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, how should the town respond to building the story? I think that's a fair question. Lots of people thought the Berwyn was just going to be dreadful. And I think it created the castle in the middle of the town. I think it's a great project.
That was originally approved as a condo.
Well, it's just a very nice piece of work.
Yeah.
Very nice piece of work.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
So this might be redundant.
Yeah. Have we talked about it already?
No, because the provincial government just made an announcement about their changes to short-term rental. Yeah.
What did they say?
Essentially, they're going to have everybody has to be registered, and is going to be you have to live on the property or in the property to rent it out.
Yeah, it's really worrying.
Yeah.
What's happening?
And potential enforcement.
Yeah.
And so that would be a good point.
Yeah.
But exemptions for
towns under 10,000.
But I understood you could opt in.
Yeah.
So a council could pass a resolution to be included.
Yes.
And so
yeah.
Well, that can interfere with tourism funding.
Well, it'll interfere with hotels and motels.
Yeah.
What do we do with the project for the bike shop up at the end of second half? I mean, there we've approved that project now, three stories. It's got professional offices and retail on the ground floor.
What are we talking about?
Next to the bike shop. Bike store at the end of
Avenue West.
And the second floor is four Airbnb apartments with little tiny kitchens, the three bedrooms each. And the top floor is a 3,000 square foot owner's apartment. So it's a rental unit in the middle of town, not for anybody who works there. It's just to be rented on a nightly basis. And I was adamant that this was wrong in the planning commission, in the advisory planning commission, but it got passed. But do we really want that kind of thing?
Well, and it's four units with lock-off. So in fact, with three with lock-off, so you've got potential seven units. That could be rented. Shorter.
It's a money-making machine.
It can be rented long-term.
It's not a gatecode yet.
From parking.
Parking up here where it is. It's in the city hall and it's back.
But the council did require a cabinet to be registered on title,
yes.
And it would require a parking stall for each of the lockers.
But it was a scary, to me it was a frightening project because when I first went to Venice in 1970, there were 158,000 people living in Venice. Now there's 51,000.
Hmm.
It's the whole city is being eviscerated for Airbnb.
Happens all over the world.
Happens all over the world, and it's just something coming here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was crazy.
I think the question of short-term rental is still needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, we're not necessarily expected by the legislature to maybe come down, and it definitely is a hot issue.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that council has been concerned with.
And it's one that council and the town is going to have to think about how we regulate and how we permit the residential areas. Because right now, this town is actually in a good scenario in the sense that it's a blank slate right now in terms of residential. Right? It's never been finished. I mean, you've got some local governments that have made moves to permit in certain ways in residential areas. So we've got a blank slate, and it's how we decide that it's now going to open up to short-term rentals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I think that is a valid question to get public input on.
Okay.
Just to give you an example, down the street from me in Qualicum Woods, a house sold early last year, and there's been no yard maintenance at all. And I drive down the street to come into town when I come into town, so I always see what's going on. And there are different cars parked on the lawn every day, sometimes five different cars parked on the lawn in front of the house. And I think, well, it's not a residential activity anymore. It's some kind of money-making activity.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot.
So I don't know how often this is happening around Fox and Woods.
Yeah, well, I think it is a valid okay. Yes, we want to ask this question.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm worried we might not get through the whole agenda of all the questions and
Maybe we'll go faster now.
I noticed we started at 2:30, but there wasn't an ending time, and I couldn't be on the staff then.
Oh, did you think an ending time? My apologies.
It is 4:30.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't make that through.
We're running out of venting.
Okay. Agricultural land reserve.
Oh, that's still a thing.
Yeah, we don't still do it anymore. That's the thing.
Airport.
This is pretty, this one's pretty good too.
They're doing that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we went through the ALR way too fast.
You don't want to ask that question?
I'm not guilty. There are, like, a town, like, is it right there at Berwick and Burn, you know, that's kind of perfect residential lot. I'm just, for you, I don't think the whole idea of agricultural land reserves is well thought out in respect to certain pieces of property that are in Qualicum Beach. And I did bring as a professional planner, I did bring a proposal to council to make that change, and I found within the OCP that it was possible to do that. All we wanted to do was to have a discussion with the provincial or the governing authority on that. And so we found the market for the housing that would go there, people leaving the suburban areas to come and live closer to be in the village neighborhood. So that would be an economic boost to a commercial area, the higher population density within town, the town center. If you have an agricultural land reserve, that's a great idea. But if you had a crisis, and if it didn't happen at a certain period of time, that land could never be brought into agricultural use anyhow. And most of that area, I'm not talking about the area that's tree, I'm just talking about the area that's cleared. And so I just put that out there. It's kind of like a religious thing here. But there could be exchanges. It was proposed that the town would exchange a piece of land out at the airport for allowing development at that particular location, but there was zero discussions. So that's a site-specific proposal.
So how would you change the question? The town should not support removing land from the ALR,
or
the town should consider
the question.
We want to keep that question in there.
Yeah, but I think there should be some flexibility to that, given the specific piece of land.
Okay. So that would be, again, and
we're being very,
next stage.
Very specific on that.
That would be a case-by-case basis.
Case-by-case basis, yeah.
So, Hans, are there three questions first of answering the question?
It could be permitted, should the consider supporting LR removed on a case-by-case basis. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But when you were talking, though, the thought to my mind was, do we talk anywhere in here about vacant land generally? And the issues about what land there is available for development. I mean, I'm not sure if people really realize how sort of little vacant land there may be. So we're sort of talking about we're mapping out particular areas, and you've got all of this land in the ALR, and I'm just thinking that, should we be using all of the available vacant land before we start considering increasing density in this area or that area? Sort of throwing it out there. It's something that we don't really seem to be covering here.
I think it gets a very,
and that's an issue for our our area. We have a specific boundary, and there's only so much land in it. So I don't know.
Maybe it's covered with that second point.
Yeah.
Consider this on a case-by-case basis, but they wouldn't consider the application.
I think the question just has to stay in this, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have, yeah.
We have quite a few more questions, so I'll ask it.
And lots of words.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people don't necessarily know what quality of college is.
Mm-hmm. What's the definition again?
Yeah. And, well, there's a map, so I suppose that would help. But.
And they're doing the questionnaire now. Right?
I'm sorry?
The question has out now about the bond and what you
can do. So that's the question. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was always getting changed in
time.
Yeah.
So there is a flyway into the airport, and I don't know, I think there are rules about what you can't do.
At the airport, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're on the comments. So
we're on the next question.
Lining the air in the air.
So this one might change because we're already in the next phase of this project. So this question, the way it's worded, isn't necessarily relevant.
Right. Yeah, so it definitely needs a revisit.
Yeah.
So can we just leave it at that?
Yeah.
Based on the survey and the fact that I know they would encourage the school to perhaps redesignate the land for certain types of purposes, is that not correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, really the school district has the main role of determining the future.
Do you know that the school district has a covenant on the land off at Carlton Foods down at the corner off the drugstore where people park? The school district can say what happens there in perpetuity.
From
the old school house down to the corner.
First two rows is parking.
The school district has a covenant on that property. So they're enormously powerful in this whole area. And if Qualicum has anything like a village green, it's up there. But the school board never has treated it that way. And I think that's a huge political problem for this town. Getting the school buses off that site was step one. But getting the school district to understand that's the village green of Qualicum Beach is another huge step that has to be faced in the future. And it's all going to come together with the Naked Naturals proposal and the movie theater.
But it doesn't go so far to hit the Naked Naturals site.
Naked Naturals site is further back.
Exactly.
But then I think the site where the parking is behind the old schoolhouse has a covenant on it as well. So it's a very complex piece of urban design thinking to do administratively.
So 25, we're going to revisit.
Yeah.
And 26, improving transportation.
It says some other things. So is the tree bylaw.
Well, and of course, that tree bylaw would have to change if we have a bylaw.
Yeah.
So, did I miss the 26? Did we move on from that?
I believe so.
We're going to keep them on improving transportation?
I believe so.
And I guess the tree bylaw and the waterfront master plan, they need to be updated by the planning department based on what's being done so far.
Well, there is a bylaw, so
and this is about people's experience with that bylaw or their awareness of the bylaw that's in place or, you know, something like that. But yeah, it's going to be redone.
Tony, how is
it? How's it working? The 52 does not exist. Has anyone used it? But I don't know if that's all we need to talk about in terms of trees.
Can we just say we need to revisit this?
Yeah.
And then under the waterfront master plan, I think there's another area where we need a definition of what makes up the central waterfront. A lot of people probably have no idea that it's from Memorial over to Crescent.
Mm-hmm.
How would you know that? Crescent West, I
there's a lot of choices, and you're only two, five.
And also, the waterfront master plan makes no
reference to the old St. Andrew's site, which is named after the West Lady. Beautiful. And it's down the water. It's our equivalent of Parsons Waterfront Park. But people haven't realized it yet. It's just a beautiful piece of property.
So we can say revisit and update.
There's like 4 acres, 5 acres of land going to the water. It's absolutely beautiful.
So number 29, balance of priorities in the neighborhood village. So we would. Think maybe to keep the question, but look at the choices again as kind of rewording or. Yes, I want to keep that question in.
I mean, it's another way, isn't it, of having people be able to weigh in on what kind of place they want to be in.
Yeah,
focusing on the village neighborhood, the core.
Okay. And the future of Qualicum Beach. Ditto.
Mild climate.
How do we control mild climate?
Something like that. Do we really want to say retirement town? Probably didn't want to target specific groups.
But it's their vision.
Yeah. Sure. Why doesn't it say a place for children?
That's a good place for children.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, it does. You're right. Sorry.
Presence of wildlife. How are we going to encourage
that? That motorcycle
change. The same thing about health. That would be in.
Has high quality of life.
That would mean, like, well, what does that mean? I go back to our initial sort of, what does that mean?
Doesn't say minimal fire risk.
Which is important.
Oh, it doesn't say in here anywhere, which is one of my personal pet peeves is noise. And I would say that with respect to building noise. And the gardens is my particular bane in my existence. It makes so much rooftop noise, and there are engineering studies about all of this, and it can be mitigated, but my complaints over the years have fallen on deaf ears. And all you have to do is walk down the trail and really get whacked at in the area between the school and the garden. But when the wind direction is right, it just drops down the hill, and you can hear it. On my street on my light road.
What are you hearing? Partying? Or?
No, the And it's because we're a little bit of it behind the Berwick.
That's what happens to noise when it drops down.
Yes, it has a way of hearing.
Yeah.
So, I really think there should be encouragement, if not regulations, to ensure that the quietest equipment for all of the HVAC systems and air conditionings and whatnot at the lowest.
Yeah,
and if we keep putting out more big buildings, there's going to be more of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's actually related to another issue which we've just dealt with. To some degree, that's the lighting issue.
Oh, like, another one of my favorites.
The quality of the experience moving through the town. I mean, it's a disaster. It's a lighting disaster.
So, come back to the...
Yeah, we'll come back to 30.
Yeah.
Maybe between now and the next meeting, people can think about more specific
things. Yeah, but noise and light do have an effect on...
Yeah, quality of life.
Quality of life.
Yeah.
Councilor Sandoval, I have a quick question. I'm just wondering about the agenda and if we get to the end, because I would like to, and I don't know how this works, and I apologize because I've never chaired a formal committee meeting, but I also want to pose a question to the committee, like, what do you think would work for us best for next steps? That I can maybe take that back to you, like, how does this work for everyone? Is that something we could add to the agenda at the end? I just,
I don't think we should add it to the agenda at this point, but we can have that discussion.
Okay.
We can add it to future agenda.
Okay. I would just like to join my helper for our next meeting, so I have kind of a hook to take back to Luke on what works for the team and what you guys think would be best for organizing the next steps, but I got ahead of myself and apologies.
Okay. Improving Qualica Beach.
Good question.
We'll keep that one. And then that gives people an opportunity rather than the multiple choice that they can express their opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 32. Well, these are all take part in future discussions.
And there's one that's in here that's come up a lot for people, and that's participation in discussions about future recreational facilities. Because the playing fields aren't working for large numbers of people, and some people want a bigger swimming pool. And
some people want a pickleball.
And there's some conflict between the pickleball and the softball people.
Yes. Okay.
Why, this may seem like a dumb question, but why have we focused in this kind of language on land south of Rupert Road and land west of Brandon Creek? What are those meant to signify or cover? Are these still relevant in the same way?
That's one of the other questions.
Exactly, yeah.
We just had a huge Planning Commission meeting about lands up the Rupert Road for the golf course out there. There are huge issues about density and
land. Right, yeah.
So, but I don't know why aren't there other areas? Are these the only areas?
Yeah, that's the
I don't know.
Seems odd to me. We've referred to them more than once, so that's why.
Okay.
And then the next question might be, is it all the land south of Rupert, all the land west of Brandon Creek, or is it really a disguise for some particular part?
Well, I don't know.
Well, it's from the highway, from Rupert Road to the Inland Highway to the number 4.
But the Inland
Highway,
are going to know that?
No, there are 4 acres.
And it
was a roundabout. The 18 acres on the northwest corner of the roundabout.
The big town in?
What's going to happen to that? Why isn't that
not here? Is it even in the south?
No. It's already in.
Is it already in?
Yeah.
Oh, at least here,
yeah. And on the other side?
On the other side, we have to acquire it all.
So maybe this would require a map or something to specify the area so people know what they're.
Well, and what the relevance is.
Right.
Yeah. The question would just be, do we want that?
Those parts of Brandon Creek are we talking about? Because most of the land west of Brandon Creek that I'm thinking of is already developed.
Yeah.
So where are we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, from Horn Lake down to the highway, it's mostly housing.
But from Claymore up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's in the big time.
Is this questionnaire too long? For the average community member?
It's getting close. Because it takes about 40 to 45 minutes right now. So, Luke mentioned roughly don't want to go any longer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he said it was averaging about 40 to 45 minutes for participants to complete the survey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. I have now that we've gone through all these questions, it jumps around. I don't sort of perceive any rational kind of It doesn't seem to be easy for someone. It's not like you're guiding them through different areas. It is like there's just a question here about this, a question here about that. I think there's an issue that way. Something to discuss, I guess, in another meeting.
So do people feel that this could or should be streamlined? In other words, clean up some of the words, maybe make it more compact.
Do the consultants give advice on this sort of thing? Like, they must have experience with flow and question A, really applies to C and not B, and I mean in terms of flow. And
we can absolutely utilize none.
At what point do you utilize the consultant technically team in streamlining this and making it as compact as possible? Or do we utilize them for that?
We can. The notice that they are available, that is something I'll have to confirm with Luke because it was my understanding that it's committee-driven, so what that means exactly and how much we know is implemented, so I apologize if we don't have that out there.
What I'm hearing, is that there's a lot of good stuff in here. There is a lot of editing that needs to be done based on things that have changed over time or things that are vague or repetitive. And then there's the question of the orchestration of it. Does it flow? So there's a kind of design issue, a document design issue. That's my understanding of that. This is all very valuable because I think everybody had a lot to say about those questions. They've edited down in those questions to make them friends. But then there's this question of how do you orchestrate that so it's going to focus.
And we've only looked at one part of it. So if you go back to the first part, there are things in there about recreation. To me, there is some repetitiveness between some things in part one and two. So I think there's some work to be done. I'm just wondering, did you want us to go through all of even these background questions?
The background question, the demographic questions, we can go through them because it's really asking something. I think we should, if we have time, to go through the demographic questions. But yes.
Okay.
I think it's slipped over 32. This is just an invitation. If you're interested in or have a concern about something specific, you want to discuss it, then let us know. So I'm not too concerned that the land south of Rupert Road, all that would be a general problem for people. But it might be a problem for a certain person that wants to talk about it.
So you want to tell them what they might have been discussing further?
Who's going to do it?
I'm guessing this one has probably come back to a town mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
And adding people to that.
Your email will be used only to notify you of upcoming engagement opportunities and will not be associated with your other survey responses. So it's just if you want to be kept in touch about these specific items.
We have these different mailing lists for different topics or departments.
Mm-hmm.
It's about adding input. So it's a clear invitation.
Public engagement.
Yeah.
So the first part is, how are we doing today? The part we just came through is planning.
But they're asking for that first part to talk about improving things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of
it's an overlap. Yeah.
So we wanted to go through the background information?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
These should be a little bit more...
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So, does anybody have any comments about 33A?
Well, I have a question in terms of generally what non-residents are participating in the survey.
So I did ask that particular question to Luke, and it's people that don't necessarily live in Qualicum Beach, but have a tie to Qualicum Beach, and that's one of these three options, generally speaking. I work in Qualicum Beach. I use community facilities in Qualicum Beach, such as a civic center, or a shop in Qualicum Beach. So they have a connection to Qualicum Beach, but they don't live in Qualicum Beach.
Yeah.
Are those the only three?
Well, those are the only three that were used in the 2017.
Well, you have family, and you come and visit frequently or something, and that might be deemed as a more direct connection than I just come here because I have a favorite shop that I like.
Yeah.
I show up at once a year.
Or I live in the news, but I use
the pool. Yeah.
Or how about I have holidays?
But can I ask you a question? So So, but then this survey is not for the Qualcomm community, it's open to the larger public.
That was one of the questions in the 2017 survey, or one of the issues in the 2017 survey was, are those people included? But it's more people that have a connection to Qualcomm Beach. So if they're living in Sandpiper, let's say, and their kids go to Arrowview School and they use the baseball fields and they shop here and those kinds of things. So it's like a direct.
But a connection is a very vague word, because then it can be some people come to Qualcomm once a year for a week in the summer.
And it can be people are going to be very skewed too, because you have more people answering the survey that had limited connection to Qualcomm Beach as opposed to those of us that work and live here. It could go off in a direction that was never intended. Probably wouldn't, but theoretically it could.
In the description of the survey, in the description of the survey, it talks about a separate link to the online version of the questionnaire was also provided for non-residents who wished to be included in the survey.
Hmm.
So it sounded as if they self-select.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Okay, so excuse me, can you read that again? Did it was sent to specific people?
It said a separate link to the online version of the questionnaire was also provided for non-residents who wish to be included in the survey. So I think for residents, it's mailed out. Residents and building and business owners, it's mailed to those addresses within the town. But it sounded as if non-residents could choose to participate and then it's available online. So I just that's why I asked the question, because that's, I'm not so sure that that's really a great idea. Who we want to be.
To go off the rails.
But all those houses and judges for over all my people who have
But they get a survey because it would go to that.
Yeah, it would go to that.
Yeah, they do pay tax.
They do pay all the taxpayers.
So
but it's always been a tourist community that has a voice, but nobody at all is here would be included in the survey.
So I think we just need to we need to either end the meeting or extend the meeting because we've got 2 minutes left. How do we want to do this? Want to keep going?
I think we're going to decide.
Yeah. Okay, on the remaining questions?
The demographic stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So let's revisit this. What connection? 33A, we're going to revisit because it's a question about non-resident.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you live there? That's pretty straightforward. The type of housing, that's pretty straightforward. You currently rent your own neighborhood outside the town. Well, that depends on 33A, whether that's included or not. You identify your gender. How old are you? Do you have children? And that's fine. How many dogs do you own? How many cats do you own? And how would you like to be communicated with? So.
I just think it's strange that I didn't even notice that part of it, that it's not just stakeholders. I would have thought the OCP would be only
stakeholders. Yeah. And as I say, that was a...
You know, I agree with it. Well, you know, it could be skewed by people on the outside.
Short-term rental.
I agree. I agree.
Okay. So,
I think there's an addition in the last few years. It's multi-generational housing or something like that. I don't know. In the demographics. How many people have their mother living with them or...
Okay. So we've pretty much identified
one more home.
Oh, sorry.
One thing you often see, I'm surprised it's not in here now that I look at it, there's nothing about income.
No.
That's often a demographic.
Really? Nothing about how many cars.
Yeah. And there wasn't really anything in there about parking or, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, see, the odd person would give up their economic situation.
You know, recreational vehicles.
I mean, we've got these giant recreational vehicles.
Yeah.
Parked around up on the water. I've never seen them move, so.
Well, maybe it's their other house.
So, can we,
in our strata, we have 5 recreational vehicles. 2 years ago, it was 2. So,
that all kind of is a transportation question. Like, how many vehicles do you own? Including RVs. Yeah. How many of them are electric or other?
It's been a real growth in electric bikes in the last 5 years.
Yeah. So Andrew posed the question, what will be the next step in terms of how we can reword this or rework it? Do we want to break down into subcommittees or everybody think about their response to these questions and what they would like to be changed or added, or how would you like to do it? Because it's
me.
No, not you.
No.
You. I'd be prepared to let a subcommittee take an afternoon at it.
Whatever. Want to volunteer for now?
I can next week. Can you leave
what I'm going to do?
So I'll propose something. Why don't we come next week prepared to make amendments or additions, which would be the first. This week. Individual, we just pitch the idea, then a second here.
To the whole survey?
Yeah, so if you have if I want to reword something, I'll propose
I give the word.
Wording, you can see that or anybody else.
Or we might then want to start a subcommittee or a work committee today, work with those ideas in that language.
I'm thinking of that one question potentially you have these for 2 hours.
Complete compact human language.
It's a Toronto consultant, and we have in here the desire to support education and youth and blah blah. There's a thing called a leadership group, which if you want those credits, you get. But would there be any potential to have an internship created so that somebody could actually work on aspects of it and get their CV built up and all of the things that would be beneficial and be tasking the consultant from Toronto to work with a kid or two from town in whatever way to be.
That's an option. I know CIU has reached out now that they have.
Yeah.
So I put that in. I know.
Just to play with the idea.
But the main task is that some person or people need to take what they've heard from this discussion and begin to introduce provisions to the language and to the structure of this, and do it as soon as possible. That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, time is a bit of a constraint.
A lot of time.
So we can just go over 6, 7 different amendments for one idea. And that's not the way to go.
What about if you did it online, shared documents and.
I think that trying to redraft in March, it just doesn't work.
Okay. So Liz, is what we've done in terms of which questions we think are worth keeping, is that what you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, and then
okay.
The next step would be to kind of sort of get to the nitty gritty what his process is for that. He said we're still going to flush that out a bit. So we did get through most of the agenda. We did have identified any new topics or emerging trends that we want to include into the quality of life survey. So I guess I will have to roll over and be part of the conversation for next week.
Mm-hmm. I think if we got the framework edited, then I think by the time that we came back, enough of us would have thought through, if it would have been this process of osmosis, that we would look at it and say, yeah, this is the way we were going, and also we need to have these topics somewhere. So, and I don't think they've been any, because there's a lot covered. Mm-hmm. I think we're really refining them, how they're presented.
So are we agreed then to leave the identifying the new topics that will come out of discussion, the discussions here, and we can look at that at the next meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because a lot have come out of the
discussion. Yeah, okay. So then the last thing that we need to look at is the review of the draft quality of life survey timeline. Is everybody okay with this timeline? The date, you can make the... You can make the meeting for the next 4 weeks.
If you have one that you're not able to get to, Janet, or if not, I think the one gave your availability.
I can't make November 6th.
Okay.
Okay.
So on October 30th, it says Tavon should share draft QLF with us. So that's a redraft? That would be the redraft.
My personal opinion, if it matters, looking at the timeline, is that it's not that feasible.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks from now, you're going to have it all done.
Yeah. Because it started, we started a bit late, too. I think it'll feel rushed.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And it's a very important component.
So can I ask a stupid question? We didn't talk about part one, which is quality computers today, and it does a deep dive into all the activities and you rate them. And so are we going to assume that the future one will fill into this? And back to your point of how do things flow one to the other?
Very much. Yeah, it will look similar. That will work in the internal situation with how departments, directors, and managers for the servicing part. And then that would, my understanding is that Luke would bring that back to you and talk to the community to talk about the actual servicing component, but he wanted it to go for the external review. And then I think that would time with the whole folder if that is confirmed. And then our questions confirmed, then we can look at the 401 and all sort of map together.
So I'm just doing a quick glance at it. I think a lot of it is part of the
So can we present in the meeting?
So move.
Wait a minute, who's going to do the revision?
Who's going to do the revision?
Who's
going to
go through this?
I think, you go ahead. I think that the idea, I think what Greg suggested, if we come back with our potential wording and your findings, so that would be the meeting of the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
So I then think following that meeting, probably a working group or a smaller group should probably meet to try to be
able to.
But then we'll have all of the
ideas. You've had a week to figure out.
So that throws us off a week right there,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you would then be coming back, hopefully on the 30th, with potential changes to the language,
mm-hmm.
then it seems to me the channel will change that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do further refinements. And so we're at least off the way to change the language.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we bring our thoughts on this is what I would change back to the next
meeting. Yeah. And I'm going to suggest I don't think we're going to be digressing on every sentence and then we have to come to consensus. Are just going to be probably the ones that we've already hit upon that we're concerned about.
But the office is going to be going to do the crap for it.
I'm just thinking about that process and I'm thinking about the logistics of what that actually looks like. So we potentially have 7
drafts
coming to either my Since one, you would always have one copy?
Well, I think the meeting next week gets all the ideas out and suggested wording.
Mm-hmm.
Then
does one person record the changes?
Well,
think, yeah, we're going to have all of those ideas out there, and then I think a smaller group goes away and starts working with us. I don't think group drafting is a group that works, so you need to do it in a smaller group. It doesn't sound like the channel wants to just do that. So it's up to us to try to find a way to put that on paper.
I don't think the town doesn't want to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not entirely sure what the role of the committee
right.
is used. I'm not talking about that.
What I mean by that is, I mean, that's a, we've done all of the, we've all got things in our head.
Yeah.
And so it's really for us, I think, to just bring it all. So you just feel that,
right.
in a way that,
keeping in mind, keeping in mind the goal of the survey is to reach out to the community.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily this is how I would like to see this, but how can we best ask people these questions? What's the best way to get across the point, and how can we best ask the questions? Not sort of imply answers, but how can we best ask the question?
Use plain, understandable English.
Absolutely.
I'm a stranger to how things work.
Yeah.
Would I even understand where this is or what it is?
Yeah.
Well, in the next meeting, we're going to have to move fast to get through all this and say, you said this, you said this. What words are we going to use? And somebody's going to ask us,
it's going to be awkward. I'm just wondering if it would be feasible, given that you've been participating in this discussion, whether you could redraft on these questions
as we go on
and present it back to us for discussion, not as based on what you were able to discern out of this. Would that be a good work?
I don't understand Luke. I think I need Luke to help me further decide on this because he's not a condition.
I'm just thinking, okay, it might be easier to work on a second draft than coming back with seven sets of suggestions.
Well, you just said you didn't think this worked. Why? Because I'm just, what's your reception? Why don't you think
I guess I know I shouldn't have said that I don't think it'll work. I'm just wondering what, like, when I'm creating an agenda for next week, what is it going to say? Like, what is that going to look like? Are we going to sort of do a roundtable and each person kind of go through, like, you know, here's what I think? Or are we going to try and organize this at a high level?
In my experience, one person should take that, put it out on the computer, go through and cross out everything that we seem to have agreed on, and in a different color, put on everything that we think is missing. And we should use that as a discussion item for the next meeting. And this is what, you could say, this is what I think I heard. And this is what I'm suggesting we eliminate. This is what I'm suggesting we add. Did I get it right? And if I didn't, we change it.
Yeah.
And then it's a working draft. But to have all this paper floating around, it's scary.
So might I just suggest that because Bernadette has been taking minutes and she's gone through all of the points with us, and she can say, this is what you discussed and this is what you thought about this particular point, and that might act as your draft.
Where does that could produce that draft? That would be
I wouldn't produce the draft, and I think that I've got, like, include, but you know, question 17, include, but perhaps include density. Number 19, include, but help define, subsidize. Include, but relook at in relation to provincial short-term rental laws. Those sorts of things are the ones I included. But there's a lot where you haven't discussed it, and you said it needs to be discussed. So I don't think anyone can draft anything on what you haven't discussed yet. So there's a whole lot that needs to be discussed, and then that second drafting opportunity might be there, but I don't think you're there. It's just in my minute taking. We'll come back to that. So you've got to come back to it, I think, before someone can draft it.
But my point was that if you have the points that we've discussed, And
the other thing is that you have the potential to listen to the recording. There will be a recording.
Mm-hmm.
These minutes will be here and they'll be available to you in the next day or two. But you also, just to let you know, we'll always also have the opportunity to listen to the recording over again, live.
So kind of looking for a solution. If one person sit down with you, Bernadette, and then they take the responsibility, committee member, of redrafting it.
I think once you have a discussion, because you haven't had a group discussion about a lot of these issues,
right, yeah,
then there's a potential for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not there yet.
That's why we need next week's meeting,
mm-hmm,
right? To come back with our ideas, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think we're not here to go through it line by line and mince each and every word.
No.
I mean, I think we were clear about there were certain areas that were ambiguous, and hopefully we'll focus on that.
Okay.
It's clear as mud, but it covers the ground.
Well, I'm going to go through my copy and edit it to color,
yeah,
for my own benefit,
yeah,
and that's what I will talk from at the next meeting. I will come back with my copy edited in color, once crossed out what I think needs to be added, so that I know what I said.
Okay, and then I think maybe what I'll do is connect with Luke to see what he thinks the next step should be.
Yeah.
And what that looks like coming out of our meeting today, and then I can create an agenda for next week based on what we've heard from the committee and based on Luke's senior guidance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would like to see the comparison of what we've done in 2010 and 2017.
Okay.
You know, the extent to which the specialists were the same.
Okay.
Like, were they even?
No, not worried.
Okay. Just the questions themselves. What ones were added in 2017?
Okay.
Just the sense of what we have that is trending over time and what was new.
Okay.
We could.
Yeah, I'll settle a bit more on my day and then share that, make sure that's available.
So can we adjourn? Are we all?
He's gone.
Okay. So I need someone to move.
I propose we adjourn the meeting.
Okay. Okay.